summertime. Hey, everyone. How are we doing today? Good, good. Dad's a happy Father's Day. I'm so glad that you guys are here. I'm surprised you're here. I'm surprised you're not at a golf course quite yet, right? But thanks for being here today. We're so glad you joined us. My name is Carmen, and I, a few times a year, get the privilege to do this and to speak with you. So it's an honor that I get to do this. Thanks for listening and for being here today. I was getting my nails done the other day, like any classic girl, and the nail person said to me, she said, yeah, you know, time flies. And I thought, yeah, you're right. Summer's going by really fast, right? It's already mid-June. And as I have gotten older, I've learned what this meant. When I was younger and a kid, I would hear people say time flies, and I always thought, I don't know what that means, right? Like time, when you're a kid, seems to be an eternity. And but now as I've gotten older, I've learned that this is really true, that time goes by so fast. And anytime I look at a picture of my kids, if your parents in the room today, you are you're constantly reminded of really how fast time goes. Our littlest one is Mac right there. I feel like it was seriously just yesterday that I was waddling around this place like as big as a whale. I mean, I was huge. Mac was 10 pounds, and I showed every ounce of that 10 pounds. Lyndon is our three-year-old, and then I have Scarlett, and I'm already emotionally like, prepping myself for sending her off to kindergarten in just 2 months. I feel like I'm a kid with a kid. And as I look at my kids, I think to myself, man, time really flies. And as I've realized how fast time goes, I've taken note to how we, myself included, how we kind of treat and view time in our culture. And what I have realized, and you would probably agree with this, is that we rush time all the time. We really do. We rush time all the time. And we have all these things we want to accomplish, right? We have hopes and we have dreams of, you know, what we can do or what we should do. And we have a pursuit of kind of getting somewhere in life. And the time it takes to get there, if we're being honest, it's just somewhat annoying. It really is. And our goal is fast. It's for something to happen in our lives and for it to kind of happen fast. And we tend to view the time it takes to get there as a nuisance. Have you ever thought about this? Look around our world. It doesn't take much, okay? We have any workout fitness program, they promise faster results than ever before. Have you noticed this? There's diets promising shedding of pounds in just short weeks. We at times are constantly looking ahead, right, for that next stage or that next phase in life. And we have this goal of getting faster and accomplishing things really fast. And what I found is we get really frustrated when things take a long time to produce results. I am frustrated right now, bless his heart, it's Father's Day, with my husband, who's just taken way longer than I thought was possible to put together our kids' swing set. And anytime I remind him of this whole little, like, hey, you need to be moving a little faster, he tells me to go do it myself, which is really offensive. But we live in this instantaneous culture. We really do. And we oftentimes want results and we want that end goal now. I read an article this past week about the millennial generation, which is me, and it was a little bit offensive. It was hard to read. But it said that the millennial generation is known as the entitled generation. We expect to climb the ladder overnight, to get the promotion within months, to be given a title in no time that normally would take years to acquire. We love this. We think fast, fast, fast. And our world and our culture is constantly looking ahead, constantly asking, where am I going and what's next? And I think part of this, of course, can be healthy, right? To be a forward thinker, to think of the future. But I think we've almost become like dangerously obsessed with this whole idea of wanting results now and viewing time as kind of just simply this means of getting us from point A to point B. And our goal is fast because we want to get to B so bad. And this is sometimes how we see things in our lives. We're over here at A, and we want to get there at B. And this could look like a lot of different things, right? This could look like completing school. It could be simple, accomplishing a to-do list, receiving a promotion, raising and sending your kids out of the nest, right? It could look like learning a new skill or wishing for that next phase in life. And we go, well, I'm here, but I want to be there, and how do I do this the fastest? How do I reach my end goal the quickest way? And we think this way so often, and we say this, that we want results now. Give it to me now. We want the results now. I mentioned one of my little kids is Lyndon. Lyndon is 3 years old, and she is the most strong-willed child ever. She was a really easy baby, but I promise, like, she is the reason the phrase the terrible twos exists, because she's a terrible toddler, and I can say that out loud. She is a really terrible toddler. Her stubbornness is remarkable. I know she gets it from her father. And so Lyndon has been very challenging for us. Here she is. I tell her all the time, Lyndon, you are so lucky you're cute, because if you weren't, girl, you would be in trouble. But as a parent, you kind of have all these like hopes and dreams of what your kids are going to accomplish and, you know, traits you want them to have and things that they're going to do. And one very like fundamental, simple one is that as a parent, you really hope and pray that someday your child will go on the flipping potty, okay? And so right now, we are knee deep in this wonderful thing, potty training. Dear Lord, Lyndon, what I found, though, she didn't quite have the exact same hopes and dreams about potty training that I did. And the best parenting advice I ever received on this whole topic of potty training, someone came to me and they said, Carmen, don't rush potty training. Like, don't get ahead. Don't try it before you think they're ready. Because if you do, you'll not only drive them crazy, but you'll drive yourself crazy as well. And I'm standing up here today as living proof, you guys, that I have gone completely crazy. I have gone completely crazy over potty training, and I have wanted results so fast. And so I've learned something new about myself. I've used such swift bribery. I've used selling tactics I didn't know I had or didn't know. And I have made up so many lies to Lyndon to try to get her to go on the potty. I told her that a diaper fairy existed who would come in at night and get her diapers. That's a lie if you didn't know. I also told her that the reason the diaper fairy needed her diapers was because a diaper fairyland existed, which had castles made of diapers, and that the diaper fairy needed her diapers to make another castle. That's a lie. And I also told her this one, which is borderline, I don't know, probably not a good parenting thing. I told her that if she wouldn't go on the potty, that she was going to have to go to the hospital and see the doctor. She's petrified of that. But I went crazy. I really did. My husband would say, well, you went crazy, but so did all of us because you were so crazy. And so one day I decided it was conquer the potty day. I said, enough of this. You're 3 years old. We're doing it. And so the diaper fairy swooped in that night, took the diapers away. I got her a Barbie dream house. It was like the mecca of all three-year-old toys. It was sitting in the basement. I bribed her with it. And I said, all right, today's the day. We are going to do this. We don't have time to waste, Lyndon. We're going to go on the potty. Now, I mentioned to you guys that she is really stubborn. And that day, she held her pee for 9 hours straight. Now, that's impressive, like, for a dog, isn't it? It's like, oh, that's a good dog. They can stay all, go all day. Or even an adult, right? Some of you are like, man, 9 hours. But a three-year-old, right? She is so strong-willed. And she held her pee. And I was just crazy. I really was. I wanted results, and I wanted them now. And a little update, not that any of you care about my child's potty training, but she's doing better, okay? She's working on it. The only issue, is just a slight issue, is that she is petrified of any potty that is not pink, purple, and has the Disney princesses on it. So that has made us, you know, kind of experience an all-time low, which is that we now have to have this, like, mobile potty that goes wherever we go. And this happened the other day. It's embarrassing, but here's what parenting really is.
Okay, I'm not watching.
Well, turn it around.
Okay.
Yeah. This happened. It was all my husband's idea. I come out and we are at Easton. It says, please don't judge me. And my kid is in the back of our truck going pee. I looked at him in this moment and I said, it is all downhill from here. It's maybe okay when we want results, right? When it comes to potty training. But I think there's realms in our lives where this kind of result-driven way, this I'm here and I want to get there pattern of behavior and mindset can be at times missing something that I want to talk about today that I think is so important, you guys, yet we often overlook. And it's, you know, we have this rushed end goal mentality. And when we do, I think we compromise so much. Have you ever known someone, maybe a boss or a coworker, who just steamrolls people in order to get something accomplished or to get from A to B? They don't care. They just, bam, they just go. What about someone who's become so obsessed with seeing results that they've hurt themselves, right? Maybe they hurt their bodies. They hurt a relationship. I so often, as just a mom and a wife and an employee, I get caught into this trap of being so result-driven, and I'm sure many of you have been there too. And it's this trap that we're so focused on the result. We're so focused on the end result, the promotion, the title, the next phase, the way we want to feel, the way we want to look, whatever it is. And we miss out on something that I think is just so utterly important. And that God can use in our lives in major, meaningful ways. And it's this line right here. It's this line. And we get so focused on A and B that we just kind of disregard this. And this is the in-between, right? This is the middle. This is kind of the journey. And today, I'm calling it the process. And I think that we tend to rush time away. And we get so focused on B, we get so focused on that end goal. And in the meantime, we miss the process. And here's what I want you guys to hear today. I think that God really, truly cares about the process. He really does. And we so often look at A and we look at B, and no matter what B looks like, we don't give the process the credit that it deserves. And it's oftentimes viewed as this necessary evil. But I think if we continue to view it this way, we're really missing how amazing it is and how God can use the journey that we are all in. And I believe, you know, you can look at this and you can go, yeah, that's a good reminder. You're right. The journey, the getting there, the middle, it really does matter. But oftentimes, you guys, this is just not the way we live life. And when you think about it, God created time. God created time. He didn't have to, right? He's God, and he chose to create time. And what if he created time and he created the process as a way for us to accomplish or attain or develop certain things or characteristics or experience growth in life, things that all happen over time? And the overtime part means that there's something in between the A and B that's really, really valuable, the here and there, and it's the process. I love how Perry Noble, he's an author of a book called Not There Yet that part inspired this message. And he talks about the essence of the process and the importance of development that really happens over time in regard to our faith journeys. He writes this. He says that one day, while reading through scripture, something hit me I had never seen. Every reference to spiritual growth in the Bible is agricultural. The Bible uses a metaphor of sowing a seed, waiting, then reaping over and over. And people who read the Bible when it was written understood this concept. Once you put a seed in the ground, it was going to take time for fruit to be produced. No one ever planted and then expected a crop the next day. Sowing and reaping take time. I truly believe that God values the process. And that the process is actually a gift. And we sometimes get so obsessed with B. We get so obsessed with where we're going and the result that we hope to achieve. And you know, the reality is sometimes B doesn't even pan out, right? Sometimes you have an A to B in your mind and then B ends up changing. B ends up looking way different. And the tragedy is if we often so focus on just the result, we disregard the journey. And here's the truth. I want you guys to wrestle with me today. I've been wrestling with this. And I want you guys to go there today. My heart is that we would understand and see that God may actually want to use the process to develop us. He really does. God uses the process to develop us. There's so much good. There's so much growth. There's so much beauty that can come when we recognize that God uses the journey, this in-between, to teach us stuff, to help us grow, to mold us and shape us and change us. He really does. And God created this process, the sowing and reaping, the time in between here and there. And he has a major purpose in it. Major. And I believe that if we could be a little more open to it, that God might use the process to have a profound purpose in each of our lives. You look back at times and you can go, okay, yeah, I remember that process. I see that season of life that I was in. I'll never forget when I had an A to B when I moved to Columbus. We moved here really with no intention of staying. And so clearly, that was 7 years, my B changed quite a bit. And it didn't pan out, and it didn't look how I thought it was going to be. My A to B definitely did not include getting pregnant. We were 9 months married, and we found out we were pregnant. Oh, my gosh. My A to B was not planned, was not, you know, it didn't have that in it. And that's what happened. And to be really truthful with you guys, I was so disappointed in how my A to B was panning out. I really was. But that process, though it was one of major development for me, God really used it. He really did. And he taught me so much. He was working in my life. He was grinding away at my character. He was revealing my flaws and revealing my strengths. And he was right there with me. And it's too bad, because I can now sit here and go, wow, man, God used that journey. He used that process, and he actually did a lot in it. But I can't really say that during it, I had that attitude. I wasn't engaged in it at all. I didn't view it as this purposeful piece that God was going to use in my own story. But looking back, it's amazing, because I look and I go, wow, there was so much purpose in that process. There was so much purpose in that process. God did so much in that process. And I miss what he was doing then. And I think we need to remember this. I know I need to be reminded of it. And it's that to, you know, become something, to develop, to get from A to B, it takes time, you guys. It's a process. And someone said this to me. They said, you know, Carmen, God is a God of processes. It's what he does. And he has a purpose in them. So I want to ask you this morning, you know, what's your A to B? Where are you at right now? Sometimes B, here's just a stark reality, sometimes B isn't even that great. Sometimes B can be really challenging. You know, it could be getting through the loss of a loved one and that grieving process you're going on. It could be getting out of a major relationship, a struggle. It could be a major change in a relationship that you have. It could be working on viewing yourself differently. Maybe God's trying to get you to a new place of the way you view yourself, the way he does, and that's just a process that God is taking you on. But we all have one. It could be big or small, but we all have this. I'm here, and I want to get there. And today, I want you guys to kind of shift your process from just thinking of A and then B and live in that process and really go there. The owner of a really cool, kind of forward-thinking company, he said this, and I love this so much. He said that how you climb the mountain is more important than getting to the top. How you climb the mountain is more important than getting to the top. This company is called Patagonia. Many of you know it. And it was started by a man who so strongly desired, he was passionate, to stand up for what matters so that he could live in the right now and experience the process. He was obsessed with the process. And I think there's so much truth to this statement, right? That the journey of the process is really beautiful. God will come in and he'll work in our character and he'll reveal things to us. And it's oftentimes that the process is more important than just the end result in getting there. It's amazing when you read through the scriptures, you see God, he used the process in profound ways in people's lives again and again and again. And today I want to look at a story of a man named Joseph. Go read this. This is your homework. This week, go read Genesis 37 through 50. It's 13 chapters, so I'm doing quite a bit of condensing today. But it's so cool. You will see that God decided to take Joseph on a process. He was a man who really wanted to be discovered. He was eager to be discovered. And God said, you might be, but first I'm going to develop you and I'm going to use a process in order to do that. And it was amazing. Joseph was a special man that God had really set apart. It was evident that God kind of had his hand on Joseph's life and had big plans for him. But like I said, he needed major development. And Joseph was so concerned about his A to B. He was so concerned about being discovered, which for him was experiencing prominence in his family. And one would say, if you start to read in the beginning, that Joseph was a little arrogant, right? He was a little cocky. He had this robe that he would kind of wear and flaunt around. He thought he was tough stuff. And Joseph really needed developed. And so you see that God took him on this 13-year process. 13 years. Some of you are thinking, man, my process feels really long. But man, that was long for Joseph. And it was this process to develop him and change him and really mold him into who God had created him to be. And just like for you and I, he used a process in order to do this. The skinny on Joseph is that we get introduced to him in Genesis. He's one of 12 brothers, okay? And he was the favorite. Like, it was very known he was the favorite out of the 12. And so his father loved Joseph more than the other brothers. And so he was kind of picked out to be on this path, this A to B. And what he was going to get was this power and influence and really to be the head of his family. And his brothers, like you can imagine, didn't really like this. They weren't okay with this. So one day they came together and they said, hey, let's kill Joseph. Let's get rid of him. And one of the brothers, Reuben, he actually softened a little bit. And he said, well, how about we not kill him, but let's sell him into slavery. So that's what happened. Imagine your brothers, they sell you into slavery. And so Joseph knew that God had big plans for him. And he knew he was special and that God would use him, but God had a process in order to kind of get him there. And you could say as you read through this story that his process was somewhat grueling. It really was, you guys. And it's so important to remember in our processes, it's such an important piece that it's just not always easy. The process isn't always easy. How many of you can agree with this right now? You go, oh yeah, my process, it is so tough right now. Scholars believe that he was 17, Joseph was, when his process began. And listen to Joseph's list of, like, not easy. He was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, and he gets plopped into the most advanced nation during this time, which was really far away from home. His dreams of being in charge of his family were totally destroyed. He's left alone, abandoned, and he is now a slave. I mean, go there for a minute. He had plans to be the head of his family, and he is now a slave. He gets accused of raping his owner's wife, not necessarily someone you want to tick off, and he then gets put in prison for years. And you can read Joseph's process, and you go, wow, that was not easy. A spoiler alert, Joseph ends up becoming a tremendous leader. It's so cool. He ends up being second in charge over all of Egypt, okay? So like there was Pharaoh and then Joseph was next to that. He ends up becoming so powerful, gaining so much influence. And so his A to B, it really was unbelievable. It really worked out. And then on top of that, Joseph developed a plan, a food plan. There was an unbelievable famine that literally saved the nation. And generations, it saved the nation, all because of Joseph. And we could read this story, and you could go, wow, Joseph was here, and then he got there. And you could sum it up in really simple terms. Say, Joseph, you know, was here, and he wanted to do something, and look, he accomplished it. But if that's all we take from the story, we just miss something that's so, so valuable. And we miss what God did along the journey. and the way that he developed Joseph through a process. And like I said, guys, it was brutal. And he experienced major setbacks and letdowns and even what he viewed as punishment. But God took all of that in the process and he made it have a purpose. What is challenging in your process right now? Are you in a season where you're thinking, man, this is just tough. This is not panning out. I'm coming up a brick wall of rejection and failure and disappointment. And you feel alone. And I remember in my A to B, I could not see that what I thought was hard, God was actually using as preparation. He really was. What I thought was so hard, God was using as preparation. And I had no idea that by getting pregnant, not according to my little A to B timeline, that it would be the most amazing way that God would shape me and change me and mold me. Really, it was the best thing. And here's the deal. A process isn't always easy. It's usually character building. It's when you learn and it's when you experience growing pains. And God, he uses our process in just profound ways in our lives. And what's amazing is if we just slow down a little bit and learn to shift our mindset and notice the process, despite it not always being easy, you'll see the way that God is present in it. You really will. Because the process is not always easy, but God is present in the process. And I want you guys to hear that today. I know some of you have stories right now. You have processes you're going through. And despite how you feel, God is with you. He is. He cares so much about you. He loves you. And he's present in the moment, in the process that you're going through, despite you not being able to really feel it. Back to Joseph, after his brothers sell him to some traders who then go to Egypt and sell him again, it says this in chapter 37, and this is so cool. It says that Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and an Egyptian named Potiphar had bought him from the Ishmaelite traders who had taken him there. It says that Potiphar was one of Pharaoh's officials. He was the captain of the palace guard. I've read this story so many times, and this right here is what I call like fluff or detail that I don't really pay attention to. And I just usually skim past it. But this right here, you guys, this is amazing. It says that he was sold to Potiphar. And Potiphar's job was that he was captain of the guard. If one day you were going to move along to be the king's second in command and oversee the military and the operations of an entire nation, where would be a great place to be developed, right? Probably as a slave to Potiphar, one of the king's right-hand men. And he could have been sold to anyone. Think about that. Joseph could have been sold to anyone, but God was all over this process. And he showed up in huge ways and he provided. And God orchestrated this all to work out. Have you ever been there in life where you go, oh my gosh, I don't know what just happened, but God just made this work out. He must have orchestrated this. He's so in this right now. I cannot believe the way that this is unfolding. The process isn't always easy, but God is with you in the process. It goes on to say this. I love this. It goes on to say that the Lord was with Joseph. He gave him great success. Joseph lived in Potiphar's house, and Joseph's master saw that the Lord was with him. He saw that the Lord made Joseph successful in everything he did, so Potiphar was pleased with Joseph and made him his attendant, and he put Joseph in charge of his house. Potiphar noticed something remarkable about Joseph, and it was that God was with him. And because of that, he puts him in charge. And he gives him responsibility. And Joseph was able to learn and grow from this. And God just continually was present in his process. It says throughout this story so many times, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And it was so evident that he was right there. I want to remind you guys today that no matter where you're at in your process, that God is a God of process. He's working in your life right now. And he's showing up even when you don't think he is. Because here's the deal, guys, the process, it's just not always easy, but God's with you in it. I mentioned Joseph, he went through 13 years of a process where God really molded and shaped and challenged and grew and pushed Joseph. And Joseph goes on to become second in command, right? And he develops this plan. He saves generations from starvation. And it's so amazing, right? Because you would look at Joseph's story and you go, yeah, you know, he experienced his A to B. And his B changed along the way, and it wasn't quite what he thought. But he experienced fame, and he experienced power and influence, and he got promoted. And that's all really great. But as you read the story, you find that it's not really about the end result, because what God did in Joseph's life to get him to the end result is really what mattered. The journey to the mountaintop, so to speak, is what mattered. Because here's the deal, it's usually not about the end result, but it's about the process. And God, he did amazing things. He took this arrogant young boy and he turned him into this humble, loving man through a process. And it's amazing, you guys, you got to go read this story. Joseph's family was among those who, they were in a famine and they needed food. And they knew that Egypt was a place to go get food. And so his 11 brothers traveled to Egypt to go buy food. And Joseph is like the master of the food and he's the one who sells it. And he sees them coming down. I mean, go there. Joseph is standing there. After all this process, and he sees his 11 brothers come to him asking him for food. And they have no idea that it's Joseph, but Joseph knows that it's them. And the process is so beautiful because you see here that what God did is he changed Joseph at a like heart level through this journey. And you'd think maybe after what his brothers did to him and the process they kind of spun him into, that he would seek revenge. He was powerful. He could throw him into prison, right? He could kill them. He could destroy their lives. He could do anything. But Joseph's heart was different. It says several times, it's so cool. It says several times when he would see his brothers, he would get so emotional. He would go off by himself. He would retreat alone and he would just weep about the process that God took him on. And so Joseph, they come back a second time for food and he throws them a party. Because that's what you do to people who don't really love you. And he throws these 11 brothers this party and he reveals to them who he is. And he says this to them. He says that you planned to harm me, but God, he planned it for good. He planned to do what is now being done. He wanted to save many lives. Hey, brothers, even though you wanted me to experience major pain, you wanted me to just go through it, God took this process, the good and the bad, and he made good stuff out of it. All the bad, all the trials, all the ups and the downs, the really hard days and the really good days, God showed him that there was a purpose in the process. And most importantly, God took Joseph's heart and he changed him. It's so cool. Joseph ends up moving 70 of his family members to Egypt so that they could experience a better future and maybe even experience a better process. Because he knew it's not about the end result. It's about the process. And what God did in the heart of Joseph because of this process is so beautiful. Do you think that maybe God's trying to work in your heart right now? Do you think maybe that he's meeting you in the process and you're going through challenges and you're going through hard things or maybe you're going through good? God's trying to teach you and shape you and mold you into the person that he created you to be. And here's the deal. There's a lot of purpose in the process, and if we just kind of rush it, I think we're going to miss it. I think we're going to miss out on something so special and unique. And the process is an absolute gift. And as a parent, I'm constantly faced with this whole idea of there being a purpose in the process of parenting. And I need reminded of it so much, right? Parenting is no joke. And last week, we had a 514 kids baby dedication celebration. It's a lot of Asians. But we had this moment, and we dedicated. There were six kids that got dedicated, their families dedicated to them. And it was such a special moment for families. And one part of this piece was that we had asked parents to write a letter to their children describing characteristics and traits that they hoped by the time they were 18 years old that these kids would develop and have. I mean, how sweet is this, right? I didn't even do it, and I was crying. They're writing a letter to their baby and saying, this is who I hope you are. This is who I dream that you could be. And at this baby dedication, they shared this letter to their family that they had invited that was written for their children. So his parents stood up and they said, we pray that our kids, and I was listening to these parents, kind of define, right, the B for their kids. They would be humble. They would learn how to, they would learn how to practice humility. That they would learn by the time they're 18 that they're loved. That God is just, he's crazy about them. That they would learn to be God-centered. They would understand the purpose of a relationship with Jesus, that they would be brave. They would stand up for what matters. And it was so special because that day, these parents defined the B, but then they committed to the process. And they said, here we go, right? And as a parent, you have your A to B with kid. A, you have a kid. B, raise a child, an adult that's self-sufficient and can go make something out of their lives. And then there's this massive in-between, this process that God actually designed and he cares so much about. And I told these parents today that it's so special, just don't miss the process. But don't miss the influence that you as a parent can have in your kids' lives. Dads today, dads, don't miss your influence. Right, your voice, it matters so much in the life of your child. And you have time, a little bit, right? You have 18 years, and it doesn't stop there to develop and be used by God in such a profound way. And I want to say the same to you guys today. Don't miss the process. God uses it in unbelievable ways. And he's committed to us. He really is. God loves us. He's committed to us. But he uses a process to develop us. Ask yourself this. What's your A to B? I want this week for you to practice slowing down. Acknowledging that like results don't happen overnight. And instead of looking at your process and asking, like, why is this happening? Why am I here? When will this end? Ask yourself, say this, say, what can I learn from this? God, what are you trying to teach me right now in this? In whatever part of the process God has you in, I want to challenge you to feel the weight of it and choose to have faith that God is working in it despite if you don't feel like he is. And pray this prayer this week. Say, God, use this process to develop me. God, use this process to change me. And watch what he can do. God is a good father. He is. He's a good, good father. He wants the absolute best for us. And he is the best. And he uses a process oftentimes to develop us and show us that. And so we're going to close with a song that's all about how good God really is. Let me pray for you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we're so thankful for you. You are such a good Father. You love us more than we can comprehend, more than we can understand. And God, we come to you right now and we just say thank you. We're so undeserving. You don't care. Or you just love us anyways. God, I pray that you would help every single one of us to know that you take us on these processes in order to develop us. And God, it's all for us to have a changed heart and to love you more and to love people more. And God, open us up to that. Open us up to what you can do in the process. And right now, God, I want you to remind this room, remind me that you are here, that you meet us in the process, that you care so much about where we're at and what we're going through. And you care, you want to see us through. And you want to be there along the journey. God, we're so thankful for that. We love you today. We praise you today. Thank you for being the best Father ever. It's in your Son's name, his precious name, that we pray. Amen. You guys can